That's malachim. Free will, their intellectual existences, they have a purpose in their existence.
Intellectual existence?
Absolutely. No, that's not true. Intellectual existence. Tzvachim under the Maaloi. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. They understand, they perceive the Shekhinah. They understand they're a higher level than we are. There's no question they're a malachim or a higher level than we are. But chasreil ma'at me'alihim is small than the angels. But the angels are on a higher level. We are not the highest level. Ram mentions it. Ram mentions Marduk Lucham. He says, man, it's an egoistic thing in man. The man wants to maintain he's the highest level. He's not the highest level. Malachim are higher than him. We aren't the highest level. We're a means between Behemoth and between Malach. But we aren't the highest possible level. So you see that there are existences that perceive, Malachim perceives the Gabbah for Kodesh Baruch to a greater degree than we are. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. You say it every day in the Tzvullah. The whole Meshab Chavarim. They understand everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu before created man, it says he spoke to the Malachim. And, okay, it's metaphorical, but you see that Malachim are tremendous Chachma, more Chachma than we are. No question about it.
Malachim.
One thing, there's two questions. Question is, see that question, I want you to understand that the answer to that question, I'm going to answer that question, but I don't know if it's up.
Why did God create us?
The thing is that, like I said before, that it is, the Rambam mentioned also, in my book, mentioned also, says that we are not the center of the universe. It says God created many things. And the Gemara says that, he says, and the Rambam says, many things that exist in the physical world, the stars that will never see the light, that we will never see the light on this planet from those stars, they were created because it's God's will that they should exist. Now, it is within God's nature to create, and he creates those existences which his knowledge determines have valid existence. We are one of those creatures, and that's it. Beyond that, you can't ask, because it has to do with God's nature. See? That's it. Anything else is egocentric. I can tell you. You know what I mean? Philosophical answer. That's the true philosophical answer. If you think about it, you'll see that that's the only rational answer. But it's something which doesn't have the emotional satisfaction that we look for in answers, which is not what we should look for in philosophy.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to justify, that is not a philosophical approach. To justify the Crusades and to justify Nazi Germany by making a metaphysical leap into free will. There are a lot of questions of what happens on this planet. But that's not the way to approach the...
I'm not justifying it.
You know what I mean? And now I'll ask you, and if you're going to say that free will is so great, has it helped Nazi Germany? Man's free will can't undo what God's will is, even though he has free will. So I have Nazi Germany occur anyway. That's not going to answer it. You see, all you could say is that it is God's wisdom dictated that there should be three levels of existence that we could see. One is the instinctual, that's animal life. The other one is in animal life, the instinct directly results in action. In human life, action takes place through the mind, but the instinct somehow affects it, influences it. But he has the ability to undo the influence and to act rationally. And then you have a malach who is totally rational. Three levels of existence. These are the three levels of existence that God's wisdom dictated should exist. We are in the middle level. And that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the only answer you can give. Beyond that answer, you're going into egocentricity and into emotionalism, not real philosophy. There's nothing beyond that. That's the way it is. You know what I mean? That's all we could say. You see, the question was asked, why is it that man has that free will? So say because because then he feels satisfaction this way, right? So the question is, let him have satisfaction without it. Let him give him the emotion of satisfaction without it, right? Certain kind of satisfaction. Okay. So the answer was, that's no good. Why is that no good? What was the answer? Good.
Nahama de Chesusa.
Right.
The spread of shame. Something unearned. A man's nature is that he can't.
So what
man's
nature be? So what
man's
nature be that he enjoys it if it's not earned? It's not earned.
Right. Change his nature. We're not going through this world.
That's the kasha. What's the answer?
The answer was that God can't create man with this other kind of nature. He has to create him the way he did create him, because man is created with Tzelem Elokim.
Right.
And therefore, if you want to know what man's nature is going to be, you have to look at the Creator. The Creator's nature is that he is independent.
Independent.
He's not beholden to anybody. Whatever he has is his.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Everything
is earned. I mean, isn't that God got something from some other force for nothing?
Yeah.
Therefore, when he's getting, his creation is going to be a miniature of him, and that is that is also an independent thing that he's created.
You know what?
Well, the answer he's giving is saying that, in essence, what you're saying is, he's saying that this would change the definition of man, and therefore he wouldn't have any man. Right? That's what you're saying. So you could just as well say, instead of saying this whole thing, you could just as well say that this is the way God's wisdom dictated that man has to be created, and forget the whole business. You know what I mean?
We want to show why to say that let's create man another way is impossible.
Many, many Rishonim say it means chachma. The Ibn Ezra says it, the Rambam says it, that's what it means. It doesn't mean it's free will. It means chachma. And in other words, Abba, it doesn't say anywhere in other words, Abba, that a person enjoys the fact that he did it. It doesn't say anywhere that he enjoys it. It also says he enjoys the chachma, that he understands the chachma of God. It doesn't say anywhere that he sits back and enjoys the fact that he accomplished something, a feeling of accomplishment. Feeling of accomplishment is a mundane feeling. It's an ego thing. You know what I mean? So therefore, you could say that, so therefore this creature could relate to God without ego. Apparently he does relate to God without ego, because in the Olam HaBa doesn't say anywhere the person sits back in his law and says, hey, I did this, I accomplished that. No way does it say that. So apparently the only relationship they have to God is through Chachma. And Malachim definitely relate to God through Chachma also. And they don't have free will. So to say that the essence of man is that it couldn't relate to God if it didn't have free will, that would seem to be a difficult thing to begin with. That it couldn't relate to God in that free will. Anything else? What are you going to say? You want to put it this way. Just elaborate what he's saying. In other words, he's saying that man has this nature. You're saying that man has this nature that he enjoys what he accomplished. God certainly doesn't have that. God definitely doesn't have that he enjoys what he accomplishes. God has a sense of accomplishment. He says, hey, I did a good thing today. That's ridiculous in relationship to God. So therefore, if that's the case, we are no closer to God by having this emotion than by not having this emotion.
But you find those emotions by...
Let me explain to you. Can't say, however, that's what the Rambam says, the whole Moreh Nevuchim, the whole purpose of the Moreh Nevuchim, essentially, the first part of Moreh Nevuchim was written for that one purpose, that no one should ever think that God has any other emotion. It's just a description. It has nothing to do with it. God's action is completely from a different source, not from any emotion. It's a different source altogether. We can't comprehend the source. If you want it, the closer you can say it's a rational thing. But it has nothing to do, it would be, for instance, if a parent would tell a child, would prevent the child from going somewhere because he knows it's the rational thing for him to do. And the child will think he's angry at him. We take it as anger. That's the only muscle you can get. You know what I mean? But the source is a completely different thing. Our nature is totally different.
It appears that way, but it really isn't.
Moreover, God's independence and our independence is completely different. You can't compare the two. I mean, this has nothing to do with independence, because God definitely isn't independent in that way. God is God's nature is independent, is that his nature, he is not caused by anything else. His existence is necessary. His existence isn't caused by anything else, whereas our existence is caused. So therefore we have no shaykhus to God in those terms of independence. You know what I mean? The only thing you can answer, any of those answers, you're going to get tremendous trouble. The only thing you can answer is what I told you before. The answer is that it is part, his knowledge dictates that certain existences should take place. Man is one of those existences. And that's it. That's it. Now, man is an existence in which he could be the cause of his own good. He could be the cause of his own good, or he could cause his own evil. You have the instinct, and you have the intellect, and he could determine what it is. God determined that there should be three levels of existence. That's all you could say. But you can't, if you go beyond that, you're going into already, into areas where you have no basis, because you could ask 40 different kashas in any of these answers.
When you say
Tomorrow, but the Rambam will go through Rambam the whole beginning of the Mora. He goes through the beginning of the Mora. He goes through any one of the things. As a matter of fact, the Rambam goes so far. The Rambam in the beginning of the Mora goes so far to say that anyone that thinks that God has an emotion is worse than the Ovid and Mozart. Because Ovid and Mozart didn't make a mistake in regard to the nature of God. He says, they only made a mistake in how you should worship God. They thought that God wants you to worship the planets. He says, but a person that makes a mistake in God's nature, he says, that's worse than they are. Ram goes to great lengths. He wrote the first Tanamara just to remove this nonsensical idea, which people, because they took a look at the Torah itself, and they married. Ram says a min. Ram says in the Machlokes Ram and Rival, the person like that is a min. The person says that God has emotions. Machlokes Rambam and Ravid is a minna, but even the Ravid agrees it's wrong. You remember Machlokes Rambam and Ravid? The Rambam says a person thinks of God as a good. Anything physical. What is anything physical? Emotion is a physical thing. Anything physical, he says, he has no chavon on the bar. And the Ravid says that's impossible, because he says there are many people who are greater than the Rambam that put that way.
The Rambam didn't think they were greater.
That's
the basis of the Rambam.
The Rambam is in Perek Gimel. I mean, he says, "Omer sheyesham ribon echad aval shu." Come here, shemen akol minim. It's minim. Sheyesham ribon echad. There is one God aval shu kuf about tmura. He's physical when he has some type of appearance. So the Ravid says, "Amavram v'lama karlos emin v'kama gedolim v'tovim nimenu holchu b'zul machshava." Many people are greater than the Rambam. What was this idea? He means greater in halacha. It doesn't mean greater in philosophy, of course. He says, "Lefimasha robe in the cross," because of what they saw in the psukim. The Yosem imasha robe b'divrei hagodos, and what was really more the cause was the things they saw in the hagodos in the Maamar Chazal. He says, "Hamashabshos the deos that destroy the deos." See, the Rebbe himself said that the hagodos could be mashabish the deos, the hagodos, the Chazal. You have to know, because as a matter of fact, I mean, this is the whole thing that the Rambam goes into, that the Agodas were written for one purpose. They were written that people should know that they don't understand them. That's why they're so fantastic. Chazal wrote them in such a fantastic way that people should know they don't understand them. But fools came later and they thought they're nice stories. And they thought that they're...
Like the Hamon. Like the fables. They wanted to have...
They thought they were fables, because the Chazal purposely cloaked it in the form of a fable that a person should know. It's this, I don't understand. Obviously.
And only the person that
only could get it.
Get the real,
but people were fools later. They projected their foolish level of intellect to Chazal, and they thought Chazal wrote the story. But anyways, the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, it's one time to find it. The Rambam holds that a person has the wrong idea, no matter what the cause is, then he's finished. He's a min. The Torah says that's a min. A min is a person who doesn't have the right idea. But the Ravid says you can't say essentially he doesn't have the right idea, because essentially his belief is whatever the Torah says, right? But he's making a mistake in thinking that the Torah means this. So if you would show him that the Torah doesn't mean this, he would definitely retract. So it's not an essential error; it's an accidental error.
Well,
the error, the Ravid says, if the error is an essential one, so then he's a min. If a person just says that way without the Torah, then he's a min. But if the person say God has a goof, but he doesn't base it upon the psukim, then he definitely would agree with the Rambam that the person's a min. But if the Torah bases, if the person bases it on the Torah, so what he's saying is like this: he's saying essentially, I agree whatever the Torah says is right. Now I think the Torah means this over here. So his essential belief isn't incorrect. It's the second. That's why the Rabbi says that's not a min. The Rambam says I don't care, as long as he has his idea, it's still a min. That's the Machlokes. The Machlokes is whether it has to be an essential error or an accidental error. The Rabbi says if it's only an accidental error, but essentially he's correct, then he's not a min. That's the Machlokes.
Shana Lacha was his Perkim Halacha.
Zion, I think. Zion. You can only say that God's knowledge is such that it dictated these levels of creation. That's all. Very simple. But with the highest creation, the realms is openly not. It might be a blow to the ego, but this is the reality.
Yeah, you're with them all.
Get me off work on the question, the affirmative answer is not the same.
Okay, why don't you record it?
The question was, why did God create man? And the answer was to give him all of my ball. That was the answer. So why does he give him all of a bow without this whole problem, unchanging nature? So the answer is, because then he can't relate to God, right? But then you're telling me a different answer. In other words, the frame, you're changing your framework. Because the first question was that God, like the, if you take a look at most kind of stuff that starts off that way, it says, why did God create man? He created man because he wanted to give him all of a bow. He wanted to do good. He wanted to give him all of my ball. First of all, it's a questionable thing if you say that. If you say he wanted to do good. I mean, God doesn't have a need to do good. That itself is a...
He's a native.
That's a very difficult... You know, one thing, and I'll tell you, I never understood that approach. I never understood that approach. I don't think Ram would agree with it. I one time heard the Rav one time mention that Reb Chaim, when it was in the house, with another girl, and they were waiting there. Two other girls in there. So they're talking about why Hashem created the world. So one said that he created it l'kvodei, and one said that he created it because he wants to be mated. Reb Chaim said they're both wrong. He says you can't say a reason why he created it. You can't say a reason. You can only say that it is in his nature that this should be, because God is the ultimate reality of realities. That's why all chokhmah eventually has to come to God. If it doesn't come to God, it's not chokhmah. Yeah, that's the ultimate reality. Now, when you come to the ultimate reality, you can't ask whys and whats anymore. That's it. You see? You always say that this is
something being in nature and something being in need.
We say one thing to say about God. God's nature does not have any needs. His nature is above that, because that's an imperfection of need. A need means a person is dissatisfied at a certain time, and he's unfulfilled, and then later he's fulfilled when he's satisfied. God is never in a state of being unfulfilled. See? That's why I can't say any block. If you're going to start with the premise, why did God create me? You say because he wanted to do good, he wanted to give him all the ball. So he can give him all the ball without that. Just tell me, but he wouldn't enjoy it. No, so he could change his nature to enjoy it. So what's your answer? So you can't answer those in that framework. So you have to move to another framework now. Now you have to say the reason why he did it because he couldn't have created man in any other way. Right? Oh, so now you're not saying the purpose is anymore to give him all the ball. You see, you're retracting from your original premise. Because the premise of the first question was, God created man to give him all of my bar. Now, why couldn't he give him all of my bar without all the work? The answer is he wouldn't enjoy it. Oh, change his nature, he'll enjoy it. You see, that's a dead end. Now you're retracting. You say, no, you know why he couldn't do it? Because he couldn't, because that's not man's nature. He wants to create a certain type of nature, and that's not his nature. Then you're not saying anymore the reason why he did it is to give him all of my bar. Because certainly he could have given him all of my bar without this whole business, right?
No, he couldn't.
Why not? Say that the right thing is to stop right there, because in essence what you're saying is God's knowledge dictates is that it should be this way. I agree with you.
Right.
God's knowledge dictates it should be creature A, creature B, should creature C. Now you can't ask me a question why I can do it. That's his knowledge. That's it. You know what I mean? Stop. The essence of the answer is saying beyond that you shouldn't go. Beyond that you shouldn't go.
There's a very big
but there's so many difficulties.
There's a very big desire with man to really be able to show exactly how God operates as a person.
He's unfulfilled at one time, and then he gets. Anyone has a need. What does a need mean? A need means there's a lack. That's what I mean. And need, by definition, means a lack. Any person has a need for water, for anything that he has a need. It means he's in a state of privation. Come by change. He's subject to change. He enjoys it this time, and he doesn't enjoy it. He cannot say in which.
He always enjoys it.
He always enjoys it. And then what he's saying is, it's part of his nature. That's it. I mean, he's always saying that there's a being who is constant and who does these actions, and these actions result from his nature. That is the best. That's the closest we can get to the truth. And beyond that point, what you're doing is you're really distorting it. You know what I mean? That is the closest you can get to it. There is a being who is perfected, who is not subject to change, who has no needs, whose actions are such. And that's it. Why is action such? Obviously it has to do with his nature. That has to be that way. And that's it. I was out of town. I don't want to say where. Maybe I don't know who it was. So I went to hear a shiur from Rosh Shiva, you know? So, was the Ben Minchul Amayr on Shabbos.
Who?
Rosh Shiva.
A Rosh Shiva.
A Rosh Shiva. So, a similar kasha. Why did God have to create man in this way in order to give him this thing, whole business? So, he answered, what did he say? He said, oh yeah, he said like this, he said, oh, why did God create man? So he said like this, he said, that God created man because God really, everybody else is a robot. All of the creatures are a robot. And God wanted to relate to a creature that's not a robot. So he created man, see, this is what he said. He created man, he says, we really help God, because now God can relate to a creature that's not a robot. So, boy, I tell you, I mean, a dangerous area, metaphysics. And the Rambam cautions, you take a look on the study of metaphysics, and he has pages and pages. Everybody wants to jump in there. Caution. It's a dangerous area. Our nature is such. We have to recognize our nature is such that we want to know these things. A lot of egocentricity and a lot of others, the curiosity and all different things. But that is not the right way. We have to realize, we have to recognize our station. We have to know what level we're on and to approach it with humility, carefully, cautiously. Don't start projecting. Don't explain God so quickly. very far, we're very far from understanding God's nature. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand God's nature. And Moshe Rabbeinu only understood the Hashgacha. That was the only thing. He asked two questions. The Hashgacha he understood. That was given to him on, that was given to him in 40 days on Sinai. You know what I mean? I mean, so you can imagine, that's not just a situation over there. That's not even the nature of God. And people run right away explaining the nature of God and this and that. After your question in that area, because what happens is the worst thing that occurs is that we start getting like the Rambam says, an anthropomorphic idea of God. And he says that's why the Atzilut Bnei Yisrael were high of Misa. So the Rambam says, what does it mean, Vayechlu Vayishtu? He says because they were really tied to the physical. And they wanted on an abstract level to be able to comprehend God. And they attempted to do it, and they came out with a physical idea of God. So there was some anthropomorphism in their concept of God. And because of the Chayav Nisa. What?
Anthropomorphism.
Means that anthropomorphism means
that you take man.
You take man and you start projecting onto God, like say as like man's nature. You know?
I learned that it means
Sefers, they're not philosophy. He says they're Aleph-Bays. Every Jew should know it. It's not metaphysics. There's certain areas in their metaphysics. But there's certain things he says that he says, this is just plain, simple things that everybody should know from their Rebbe. Unfortunately, it's not that way. So he says, I have to write it down. And he really broke open, he ruined me. In his time, there were people that really believed God is physical. They really actually believed that way. So of course, there's so smoke coming out of his nose. It's not true. So the Rambam was the one that destroyed it with his writings. He really wasn't true. Without him, it would still be here today. And I considered that when you read about the Davis times, they were considered different people. Because they said, we take the Torah literally. They said, you're not from, you're taking a change in the Pshat and the Pasuk. We are the ones, they held that they were the real like Hasidim, you know, they really understand it literally. Just like you have today, you have people that say, I accept every Medrash literally, word for word. You know, the Medrash says there was a snake there with 8 heads, 10 heads, they cut off one, 2 more jumped up, I accept it literally. And they think it's Funkai. That's the same thing that you had then. That those people accepted the Torah literally. When it says the Chorapi, the rat on the ass, yeah? That's what he literally. They said, we're the firm ones. You're changing the Torah. You're saying it doesn't mean this. You're giving you philosophical explanations there. Okay? So if you really want to accept it literally, the end result is, the end result is, we'll be machlokes between the Rambam and the Rebbe.
Thank you, Munich. Like
you can't just say, Chaim's Torah is no good, because he's conceptualized it. You know, he takes it away from the Pshat. So he said like this, he says, according to you, he says, if you want to make Shavuot brachos, you take some ashes and you put it on the table, it'll be good enough. Why? Because it says, Panu Chadashes, you need Panu Chadashes. Panu Chadashes means the ashes, the Rabbanah, so take ashes and put it on the Shavuot brachos.
their actions. Why? Because they think he can. It gets the rose coming from Rishus. I always say that the godless of Chazal was not. People think the godless of Chazal is that they didn't have any inclinations, any evil inclinations. They're absolutely wrong. That's a false idea. That's based upon their own fooling themselves, because they themselves want to think that they're perfect, you know? And they think Chazal must have been so much more perfect. But they're wrong. The godless of Chazal was one thing, that they recognized and they knew every inclination. That's their godless. And was under control. The recognition and the honesty, that's the godless. Not the godless isn't from, there's no such thing as a pure, it's a geisha concept, I mean, a pure saint. That's not a godless, there's no from that. Ben Adam has evil. Ram says, the moment he has matter, he says, the moment he has the physical. You know what I mean? From that memory, it's clear. It's an amazing thing. But perfection doesn't seem to be going in that way. Most people's perfection is not in uncovering their instinctual base instincts. That's not, they're going the opposite direction. Completely opposite direction. So it's Hizarubi Babiti. Zorbi Bachesi. Be careful, I might have an incestuous relationship with my daughter, with my sister. I said, oh, can you imagine that? I mean, how could they do that? I wouldn't do that. Your instincts. They are. That's the difference. Knowledge of man's nature. That's the only real godless. And that's godless, that's a nevis, that's everything. When a person really sees what it is and really understands it, and there's very little room for gaiva. But the other direction of depression most people take. Unbelievable, right? Denial of the instincts. Okay. Impossible to control it. Because without knowledge, it keeps on working in disguise, and it keeps on disguising it. And the person doesn't know. That's why I have so many people change their mind. Okay.
That was the Malachos on Pirkeavos, which says that you should pray for the kingship of, you should pray for the Malchus, for else, because it wasn't for the Malchus, man was a fallen man. So he said, one, the man doesn't even realize how bad off he is, that he would, he's so evil, that he would do that.
There are mitzvahs that are made to perfect the person directly. Like, for instance, tzedakah. Tzedakah perfects a person directly. Because he learns how to overcome his hold and his fantasies of the domination, of the power over the physical, his concept of ownership, you know, to overcome that emotion. So he breaks that emotion, and he involves himself in chesed, right? Well, that's a direct, directly benefits the human being. But there are other things that are different, like, for instance, tzitzis. Tzitzis is a lishmasa, it's chartam, it's called mitzvah sarashem, right? So tzitzis really, it's not the act itself which perfects the person. It perfects the person via association. See? The act per se, wearing tzitzis per se is not a perfection. Wearing tzitzis per se is not a perfection. The reason why tzitzis is a perfection is because the act of tzitzis reminds him, brings to mind a concept, and that concept is the perfection. Right? You know what I mean? Okay. It's not the act per se. The act brings to mind. And the Rambam says, that's why the Chacham made so many brachas in the morning, all these brachas. The Rambam says, why? Lizkor ha-borei tonet. So mitzvahs are made, two types of mitzvahs really. One type that perfect you directly, and the other type that the action itself doesn't perfect you. The action leads to something. That's why I mentioned that those type of mitzvahs, you know, only Hashem is involved to create such mitzvahs, to know which type of thing is good. It's a person to make up anything. You have to know which type of thing is better on the whole for everybody over the deris to eternity. Saying it's the requires knowledge beyond human knowledge. Impossible, not even impossible to do it, because too many factors there. Too many factors and other. In that case, then we have another way that mitzvahs perfect you. What are the few ways you have so far?
Sexual performance. Right.
Association to the true concepts. Okay. Association to certain true concepts. Right? Okay. Definitely different. What's the other one? And instincts that are not controlled instincts. Natural instincts, right? The question is, how does this differ from intellectual performance? It definitely is not intellectual performance, right? Rishon says, Chatos Lo Mitzvah Hashem. So a person sees a tree in the Nissan and he makes a bracha, or Yechisa Bar Lamad. I mean, it's not an intellectual performance, right? And yet, certainly, it leads a person to perfection. So, the question is, what role does that play? What role does that play? Huh? Obviously, it's to the idea of God, right? And God's perfection. And it draws him, it pulls him. What? Special performance means we say like mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, a person has to do mitzvahs all day long, right? So therefore, he's constantly involved. If he does it properly, he's constantly involved in intellectual activity. That's every mitzvah has to know. This way, that way. Think you can't just go through it. You just go through it. Wrote. That's not. He's not doing this. You know what I mean? It requires a tremendous amount of knowledge. Just to do plain. This is about a tremendous amount of knowledge. Oh, this is that the person can have the situation in which he could exist to the best possible degree. You know what I mean? No, it's individual. What's society? There's no thing in society. Mezuzah. What's mezuzah? The person has a mezuzah, so he knows the concept of mezuzah, tefillin, and tzitzis. Gemara says, "Kol mishiyesh lo tzitzis bevigdai, tefillin bereisha yisroei, mezuzah bepischa, lo merechai pei." Right? So you see that these things are there to remind the person of true ideas. Yichur Hashem, avasai, lemudai, But Ram got so upset when he found that they put a Nezah Malachim on the business. He said, "Ain't the woman a block. It's taking a mitzvah gedola." As you can see, anybody with a rational approach could see that what's written on the mezuzah is a basic concept of Yehadis, from deep philosophical metaphysical principles on which everything revolves about. And to take that and to put in some superstitious words in there is making it Avodah Zarah. So it's Ein Lecha Olam Haba. But these mitzvahs were created in order to give a person, attach a person to true ideas. So what role, but yet it's, and yet it's not an intellectual performance. So what would you say about that? Even, not all of them, you could say the same thing about tefillin, even though tefillin, like I said, is the same category, you're right. But a lot of them, I don't think that's necessarily true, because how much times you have to think in regard to each mitzvah is a difficult thing to say. I mean, it's true, some more, some less, I mean, it's true, but basically a person has to think. He has to know what sits is. One sits gets torn off, he has to know what the din is, too. I mean, beggar shrinks, there's so many possibilities. Size of the beggar, when you make a bracha, when you do this, and every time he does this, he gets to go, he goes through a concept. If you really know the halachas, every time you do it, you go through a concept. You have to. People don't realize what they're missing if they don't understand the halachas. It's a different thing of performance, it's not the same mitzvah.
I'm saying, okay.
He's a terror, right? So he has to have an approach here. I mean, what's his approach? We're trying to understand as far as we can. I mean, some glimpse of what the approach is here. And the plan. I think I'll tell you, no, this is an odd thing, an odd coincidence, but I think that the mission we took yesterday is precisely the answer. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, Bob? Right? Alright. Mishnah, what? The Mishnah says, the Mishnah, at the beginning of the third parak, Akavi ben Malala Weimar, says, if you have three things, you know three things, you will not be Bola de Avera. Me'ayin and Basa, and La'ona Ta'ilah, and Mithnei Mi'at Ta'asim Litin Din Echad. So the Raman aside immediately says, and if you learn the Mishnah, you see yourself, and you learn it analytically. That's the shot. The three things are not just haphazardly put together. Three things, say 10 things, 20 things, but it's based upon the structure of a human being. And he says the two basic desires in man, the two emotions in man which mislead him, which essentially most essential emotions in man mislead him, are his ego, his overestimation of himself. And his overestimation of the activities that he does. The typhus. Okay. Of course, we went into much more detail, but let's just go basically over here. What? Yeah. The first two take care of that. Mayan and Basa takes care of the ego. Where do we take our works? So this is what we said. One is the ego, and the other one, and La'ana Tahalech breaks down the typhus. Because the typhus, a person doesn't just involve himself in typhus aguf. A person's looking for some permanence in the typhus. Imagines that if he has this object, he's going to enjoy it eternally. That's what really draws him. If he knows it's a temporary thing, it takes away from the certain amount of permanence he has to attach to in order to enjoy it. So those two things are taken care of. Now the question is, what's the third one? So he said, why does he emphasize the Hashem? So the answer is like this, because the reason why a person goes for these areas, the other two areas, because he has a tremendous amount of energy, psychological energy, and it has to be expressed somewhere. Unless a person doesn't express it, that's when a person gets sick, by the way. That's mental illness. Mental illness is where every road is blocked off. He doesn't have the real outlet for the emotions. The other outlets he knows are no good, and he stops them up, and then he could fall apart mentally. So that's why Musa could be a very dangerous thing. Musa could be a dangerous thing, very dangerous thing. I mean, I've seen guys in Yeshiva just going through depression for years on Musa, because of Musa. What Musa does is like this. Musa does is it blocks the outlet, but it doesn't give the guy a substitute. You know what I mean? See, perfection really should take a person step by step along the road, like this. When you show him that something, you have to simultaneously show him, in other words, the reason why he refrains from doing the evil is closely related to the new thing that he's found. The real perfection is not because a person has to stop himself from doing Lashon Hara, talking Lashon Hara. The real perfection is he has no desire for it. That's the real perfection. Because he really is totally involved in another, in the more important things, and things that his mind are attracted to, you see? So a certain amount of person has to control himself, I'm not denying that, a certain amount he has to do. But because otherwise he'll never reach the other thing. He stays involved in the performances that he does. His mundane performances will never get out of them. It's because they attract you. So, but it's a delicate balance there. You have to be very careful. You have to be a chacham. That's why you have a whole Mishle over there. That he says, chachma o musar evilim buzzer. It has to be musar with chachma. It's a amount of chachma. It's not a simple thing. It's not a simple solution. And most people think that it's just a simple thing. You sit down, you're a little musar, and you cry a little bit, and that's the whole thing. It's very deep. Chazal talk about atzas yetzer hara, and how to know how to get around it. That's a very deep study. A person has to know the philosophy, first of all. He has to know psychology in general, and then he has to know individual psychology himself. And he has to know how to maneuver each step. It's a tremendous chachma. And the Gemara says the big chachma over there, the Gemara doesn't mean it's just this simple performance, open up a muscle thing, and you're going to straighten yourself out. Not so easy. It requires a tremendous amount of knowledge. So why Yishlam Melech always says, chachma musa, chachma musa. Chazal saying, im chachma lama musa, and musa lama chachma. So the Gemara says, Ella, if it's chachma with musa, then you have both. But if it's just musa without chachma, you have nothing. Chazal saying.
What?
So therefore, getting back to what was the last time we were discussing? Full side thing.
What's the relation between?
The relation is like this. That means like this. If you just have it after the first two, so you broke the guy down. He has nothing. He has no outlet now. He has no fantasies about himself. He has no fantasies about what is Ram's Lashon is the better Lashon? Not Tavis HaGofer. What does Ram say? Inyane Olam. He has no... interesting what Ram used that term, right? Inyane Olam, not Tavis HaGofer. Tavis HaGofer doesn't get too many people. Inyane Olam. He has no fantasies about Inyane Olam. So the man has nothing. Now what does he do? I mean, the man has a tremendous amount, the human being has a tremendous amount of psychic energy, and he has nothing to do with it. This is bad, that's bad. So what does he do? No crack up. So what's the answer? So what is the answer? The answer is, let's name me after us, but there is a part of man which really is eternal. And every action that he does here, on this world, will make a difference, an eternal difference, insofar as his status in the next world. See, that's din v'cheshvan. So then when he recognizes that, so then he attaches the, he should attach the emotion to that. He attached the emotion to that. So that's where the energy the psychic energy should flow to. So if you didn't have that, it'd be impossible. Yeah, of course, everything's nothing. It'd be total depression. So the psychic energy should flow to Melech Malchei Melechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Melech, that's why it says Melech Malchei Melechim. The person has a relationship. The fact that a person has a relationship with the Melech Malchei Melechim, or the infinite Chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he can have such a relationship with something which draws up his emotion in the right direction. If it wasn't for that, then the first two would be ridiculous. So of course he doesn't have these things. What is he supposed to do? So there's two things. You have to, the instinct in perfection, you have to stop the energy from flowing to the instincts, and you have to make it directed to the true area, the true philosophical area, because we were created this way because there is a real area where the energy can flow to. That's why God created us this way. Otherwise he created us like the animals. Animals just have enough psychic energy in order to do their performances, and that's it. They don't have any excess. That's why they don't overestimate themselves. Alright? So now that's the thing over here. Same thing over here. You have like this. You have one of the purposes of the mitzvahs or what? One of the purposes of the mitzvahs is what? What's one purpose? You would stop the social. The first purpose, let's say control the instinct. Let's do it in that order. Just make sure you get them all. Control the instinct. That's one. Okay. So control the instinct is very good. But control the instinct alone, for the sake of control, is not perfection. And that's why the other religions made that mistake. Christians made that mistake. They took that, they took one part. They tried to take a part of what we have. But you can't do that. See? So they thought that perfection is just control the instincts. That's the perfection. That's why they used to walk in the desert and suffer and torture themselves. Never get married. This is the purpose. That's a stupidity. And God created you to suffer over here. Not the purpose. Okay. The only thing, in other words, that's their perfection. Their perfection is just torture, just stopping the instinctual nature of man.
First of all, you can never stop it that way. It's an impossibility. The only way you can put the energy is the error. It's going to the hallucinations already. You can't. It's impossible. So, and there's no purpose in it.
What?
That was the that was a mistake. I mean, Yadis doesn't maintain it. Yadis maintains that that's not the perfection. That's just something which is necessarily will be taken care of if perfection is reached. Because then he won't have these desires. He doesn't have to go in the desert fighting himself. He won't have these desires. The man will be very happy. He'll live an enjoyable life, a happy life. Because his energy will be expressed in the real area, the area which lends itself most to man's happiness. So he'll naturally be happy. George Borger wants a person to be happy, have a happy life, the happiest life. The tzaddik has the happiest life. And even though it looks to us many times like he's suffering, it's only because we project in our situation that would be considered suffering. To him, it's not suffering. He's enjoying it. So that's the thing. Now, that's the that difference between the control of the instincts and between the mitzvahs of association. So the association drives the person's energy towards the real good. It drives the person's energy towards the real good. So even though that's before the intellectual quality, the intellectuality is one level higher. That's where he's really involved. But you need something before that. You need something to drive him there. You know what I mean? You can't just where's the bridge? Where's the bridge? The bridge is the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs remind them. Reminds them of Hashem Yisbarach. Now the thing is, the mitzvahs remind them of Hashem Yisbarach. Always mitzvahs. It's just Shraim Hashem Yisbarach. Always. Lizkor HaBarei Tamid, the way the Rambam says. Chazal made all those brachas. Lizkor HaBarei Tamid. Why? Let's understand that point. What's Lizkor HaBarei Tamid? I'm not saying, not denying the importance of knowing the Bar. But what's Lizkor? This is the, it seems like this is everything converges over here. All the mitzvahs, tzitzis, Lizkor HaBarei, Tzilin, Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Kiddush, Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Tzitzis Mitzrayim is HaBarei. Mech HaShem HaKachach, Tzitzis Mitzrayim. That's the whole thing. So, and Chazal, after all the mitzvahs, Chazal still saw fit to make all these brachas. The Rambam says, "Kidei Lizkor HaBarei Tamid." See? But apparently this is the essential thing. Why must, what's this, how does this tie in with, this was seen, that's the purpose, how does this tie in with the intellectuality? Alright, you know what I'm asking? I want to know how the whole thing ties in. Things in between the control the instincts and between directing the psychic energy to the good to a good area, right? That we see. Now tie in. How does the intellectuality tie in with the with Lizkor HaBarei Tamid?
Say
Lizkor HaGemara Tamid. Why Lizkor HaBarei Tamid? Why Lizkor HaBarei Tamid? If you have to be Lizkor HaBarei Tamid, how do you learn? It's not with the Tata Sasha. My point is that love of Hashem Yisbarach is only through love of Chachma. Right? See? The reason is because he is the source of Chachma. When a person thinks of, when a person thinks in any area, when he thinks Lizkor, when he's Zerach HaDabarei, if he knows properly, I mean what, he has to train a certain level, of course. If he's not, he could have the wrong idea. But on the right level, so he immediately is drawn to the fact that the Barei is the source of all Chachma. Is attracted to investigate all of the chachmas, all the chachmas of Barei. That's the attraction. What? The Bria. Malach Olas Kavodo. Malach Olas Kavodo. There isn't a place that the person can touch that doesn't have chachmas Hashem. Anything, piece of wood, any area. There's not one place in the world, piece of flesh, is not chachmas Hashem. Malach Olas Kavodo. That's the thing. So therefore, when a person sees a tree in Nisan, he sees and he has to make the bracha. That bracha, it should lead naturally. It should lead to the desire to involve himself in Chachmas Hashem, learning in any area. See, that's the thing. Lizkor HaBarei Tamid. Why Lizkor HaBarei Tamid? Because the Barei is this. All Chachma has to eventually lead to Hashem. Why? Because everything you study, the question is, why is this so? Because of this, and why is this so? Because of that, and why is that so? Because of that. The end has to be, it's so because God's nature. It emanates from God's nature, and God's nature dictates that this is the way it has to be. So the end of all Chachma has to always wind up in Hashem, in His nature, His essence. So the nature of His essence has to be that way. Because the final question, you'll never be able to answer the final question. The final question will always be because of His nature. You understand what I mean? You understand what I mean by that? What?
numbers. Say, for instance, so why did God create these numbers? Why do you have these numbers?
Are numbers created or are numbers a reality?
Well, reality, whatever it is, I don't care what I say. But you're going to have to answer one, you're going to have to say one thing. Because it has to do with God's nature. You have to say that. So you're going to have to say it emanates from His wisdom and has to do with His. You're going to have to say everything that exists, exists the way it does because of His nature. That's the final answer of everything. You understand what I mean? That's the final answer of all answers. There's no way. There's no other possibility. You see? In other words, there is an existence who has a certain nature. And everything that we see is an expression of that nature. So it always, the answer, the final why can only be one thing. The final why can only be because that's His nature. That's it. You understand what I mean? So all knowledge eventually leads to the nature, to Hashem. See, that's Lisko Baratamit. That's the source of all. That's the source of all Chachma. That's why you can't have Chachma without the Bairay. It's a stupidity. Because you're denying the very source of the Chachma. You're cutting off the Chachma at a certain level. Lisko Baratamit is, that's the... Now, I think it is, when a person that remembers the Bairay, so he should automatically be drawn to involve himself in Chachma Sabairay. See? That's where the emotion should be directed. That's where the emotion should be directed. So even when he stops the other taivas, he doesn't have any area for the emotion. Now this is the positive thing which attracts the emotion. Then it brings him into learning. Let's go by the time. And so he takes a look at a plant and he thinks of Hashem. He starts to be unbelievable. He really enjoys seeing how each thing works, how it works, how it actually takes place. Okay? So this brings him closer to Hashem's body. That's why the Rambam was very insistent in the letters. He said in one of his igres, he says that the person should be kaveya ikim, to study those things which hamoidim lo eskono, moidim lo eskono, chachmas in general, moidim lo eskono. So this brings him closer to Hashem's body. That's why the Rambam was very insistent in the letters. He said in one of his igres, he says that the person should be kaveya ikim, to study those things which hamoidim lo eskono. Modim laskana, chachmas in general. Modim laskana, any area of chachma. That's the pshat. It's malach cholos kavoda. Every area is not an area. A cell. As an unbelievable man, chachma. There's no area in the world that was created. There's no chachma. This is really that's the apex. At least to that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. What's the
control instincts?
Control instincts is the first step. Next one
is the social order.
No, I'm saying let's go step by step. Control the instincts.
Association.
Then the association to the good,
yeah.
Right, which culminates in the person involving himself in Chachmas Hashem and Avas Hashem. It's not just one thing at all. So that's the Sumer Asetay. First you have the removal of the energy from the instincts, right. And then Vasetay.
Okay.
By the way, when I spoke against Muslims before, I wasn't against self-control. I'm going to be wrong. It's very important, because if you don't do that, then you can never reach perfection. Because you're always tied down to those, you have to remove some of those things. What I was against was the concept that is perfection, or a wholesale removal of a person from things that he needs, which psychologically he needs to benefit him, at one shot. Can't do that. It has to be done with great karma. Okay. So that's one, two, and then three is the, what it calls, is the involving himself in the chachma, chachmas hashem. And then the other reason for mitzvahs is what? The social order, right? Okay. So social order, you understand, is a separate thing. Well, that has to be the condition. You have to have a condition in which all this can take place. So really, it's, you understand what I mean? So the social order is the base upon which all this takes place. And the three things are the way that perfects it.
What do you mean,
why a person can't use his own method?
What the
Your question was, what's your question here? I forgot how to go to get the perfection. And his question is, after I have the Torah, and I see this is the way of perfection, but then I take a look, I'm very, very chacham, and I take a look and I see from me, perfection is doing other things on my own little system.
Oh, they should reject the other system or
anything? Well, maybe not reject it totally, but in certain instances, make little amendments.
Well, you can see that, though.
Yeah, well, you have a case of what are called the Feretai Secha, in certain instances. That an individual could do it, because. But wow, in general, that's not true. You're right that there is this. But in general, you can't do it. In general, it did exist, though. There was a time when it did exist. Before Matan Torah.
That's where. That's when everybody. That was the case where you don't talk about, right? That's right. No, it did exist that way at one time, that a person could use his own means of perfection. Well, and you didn't tell me, you went and you there was nothing wrong with it.
Everybody's their own personal perfection.
Yeah, I love the Zaina. So, it depends. I mean, and his level of perfection, it was an outward that needed at the time, and that was it. I mean, a person could be looking at his wife and have more time. Perfection isn't an external thing, perfection is an internal thing. Think about the way, necessarily by an action, it just means that he's imperfect. Depends on the nature of the action. So you got a right to do it. It was a full matantara. It's a matantara, you can't do it anymore. Now, why can't you do it as a matantara anymore? Why? Why can't you do it as a matantara? First of all, I would say, the preface it with this, first of all. I would doubt very much that most people have enough knowledge to even make such a decision. I mean, that's forget about it. But we're thinking, we're speaking hypothetically. The person did. It'd be low, it'd be low.
What's a
matantara that you don't have before? And the thing is like this, the perfection of man involves his relationship to God. You know what I mean? His relationship to God. That's of necessity. And the thing is like this, before, now once God gave the Torah, it means it is his will that this system should exist.
You can't
at least in one nation. In one nation in the world.
You can't question the world, right?
So this is one thing, you can't question the world because the world is part of his nature. So therefore, this definitely, after Matan Torah, you see that this fact is so, that this is God's will, right? This is his will. His will is that there should be one nation which has the system, right?
But
the
system, nations
and they're not obligated. That's right.
So why should I be with it? Because I'm part of one nation. I'm going to change nations.
I'm going to make a world system. You're right. There's no question about it. I mean, the Gemara says that an Akum v'asak Torah b'teres Moshe yeshlo chev l'olam haba. Chassidu m'sa'olam yeshlo chev l'olam haba. And no one is to say, there's a Rambam. I don't want to put it because I don't really have it on my fingertips now. But to this effect, that it seems the question arose as to who really has a bigger chev l'olam haba. A great philosopher? A guy, a great philosopher who knows Chachmas Hashem, or a plain Jew that keeps Torah Mitzvahs. Now it seemed quite clear from one of the Rambam's writings that the guy would have a higher bigger chevet, because he has a Chachmas Abayrei. And even though the other guy kept Torah Mitzvahs, chevet too, but not the same. So you see, the truth of the matter is that you're right. That you're really right. That a guy can reach a guy can reach perfection. Even though he doesn't keep the mitzvahs, right? It's quite possible. There's no question about it. I would say, though, on the whole, definitely his chances are very, very much less. More, well, take a look at the world. The reason is because he doesn't have, that's the purpose of Torah. Torah, all the things we just mentioned, all these things that the mitzvahs do for a person, definitely give him the opportunity. Tremendous advantage. I mean, take a look at how many Gedolim, and even in the secular world, even philosophers. I mean, philosophers, the systems that they had, Ram says some of the systems were good. He says they came to basic ideas. They're like Plato, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. They held you shouldn't live a life of Taiva, you should live a life of Chachma. Certain things which are basically in line with the Torah. But how long did it last? Three people. At the end of the book, that's it. Had a couple of guys like, we had. I mean, hundreds of Kanoim straight through the Davis and the Seraphim, Moshe Rabbeinu, never stopped. I mean, countless amounts of tzaddikim, unbelievable. And we only know really like Rishonim. The many Rishonim didn't write. They don't know the writings. There's many, many more. So you see the advantage of Torah. You can just see experimentally that is true. That's true. And you see even among the Chachamim in the world, you see so much imperfection. You see, you read about Newton, the big Chacham in physics, right? You read about his personal life. He's very disappointed. You know, he's
not good.
What? Even as Big Chacham, he didn't have the system of Torah. Without the system of Torah, it's very difficult for a person to reach perfection. That's the first reason why a person can't reject it so quickly, because he's not on the level yet. But even if a person should be on the level, I say that he still would not be able to reject it outright. I don't mean, I'm not talking about rejecting it openly. I'm talking about make an amendment. Why? Allow himself certain license. The reason why he can't do it is. Because since God wants, it is God's will that this system should exist, and insofar as he has Ahavas Hashem, insofar as his relationship to God is such that a perfection necessarily involves Ahavas Hashem, so then he has to forfeit. He has to forfeit his own benefit for the Ahavas Hashem, and that's really his benefit. You understand? It's like, I don't know if I'm making it clear. that particular benefit, because the benefit they receive from the Avodah Hashem is greater than the benefit that it would receive from the particular.
Yeah, they have a job by a broom there.
Not all my bars are separated. He's in love with perfection. Perfection is what most of them. All bars about. That's right. That's it. Till Matan Torah, after the event of Matan Torah, something was known to the world about God's will. Now, once it's God's will, so now you have to consider it in terms of your perfection and your relationship to how you relate to God. So therefore, even though you might lose out on the point over here, but you can't go against it. Before Matan Torah, you could, because God didn't express his will in any way that there's a certain system you have to follow. But now you have to keep the system, not just for yourself. You have to keep the system because Avos Hashem dictates, since God wants the system to exist, that you have to perpetuate the system. Unless you don't have Avos Hashem, in which case you don't have any perfection. You understand what I mean? The after Matan Torah, there's a new factor enters the picture. That factor of the expression of God's will. God's will is crystallized. This is what he wants. So since this is his will, insofar as you have Avos Hashem, you have to do it. So if you didn't, you'd be losing perfection. In certain cases, though, the Gemara says certain exceptions. Have to be good. That's a different story. Okay. I would say practical reason is because of presently you see practically that this way is really the best way. And even though people don't like the way and they think that they can do their own ways, you know what I mean? They would think that it's not true. It's not true. It's just a matter of look at the world to see that they can't do their own way so quickly. A few people were able to reach a certain basic level. It's true, a few people. But most people can't reach that level. So the benefit is for on the whole for 99.99% of the people is this is the beneficial way. See? But even a person, even that small minority, even that individual who the hypothetical guys, which might see in certain cases where it's better for him to do something else, even then he has an obligation to society. Because this is God's will is that the world should have this a society which lives according to the Torah, and therefore if he breaks that, so he's breaking the will of God. That's why halacha is halacha. Halacha for the sake of halacha, because you have to have halacha. Has to be there, even a particular case. I mean, how many times you see Tom is no good? But you have to have halacha anyways. Tom is bottle, but the halacha isn't bottle. Because once you break the halacha, then you're breaking the system. Let's say, for instance, you can't take a fool because of Shrikas Ammanim, right? Oh, but how many cases before you will need Shrikas Ammanim, especially today? Well, still can't do it. Why? Because once you break the halacha, then the system, you're breaking the system. Breaking the system means you're breaking the whole, this is the will of God, that this system should exist. And once you break it, then the system falls apart. You can't have a system where everybody's going to decide, oh, this town doesn't apply now, I'll be able to do it. That's not a system.
But within the system, there is.
Right, whatever's within the system, that's right. Well, anyway,
even within the
from the system itself. You can't get from the outside. Because from the outside, you're breaking the system. You know what I mean? Anything within the system is fine. I mean, that's what people left to say. They're fearless on this. But they say, oh, you're fooling God. You say, no, that's the system. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to keep it halachically. That's the purpose. But outside the system, you can't come from outside and change anything. Anything within the system, right? It's all part of the system. That's all it is. Says that Rabbi Chaim Kohen says that he says that you should inspire the strength of Malchus. You should inspire for the peace of the Malchus, right? Because if it wasn't for the peace, the Malchus, you would know in the law. If it wasn't for the fear of Malchus, Ish Eshwe Eru Chaim Belai. Right? Each guy would swallow up the life of his friend. Right? Amazing chazal. It shows you three things about the principles of the government, but not the government. People would call each other up. That's right. Three things shows about the council of psychology. One is that if you're not evil, if it wasn't for most people, in other words, would destroy their neighbor, right? Which means that their evil tendencies are cut you out of control, is one. And two is, the second thing is that people are unaware of this, because if you ask the average person who knew you would destroy your neighbor if it wasn't for the Malchus, of course, they say, no, we're fine person. Because they see that people are unaware of the fact that they have these tendencies, that's two. And the third thing is, and it shows you that they not only are unaware, but they misattribute their actions. Why? Because they think that they're being good because of their good nature. And they're really being good because of the fear. You something. That's right, and they'll know it. In other words, a person, that's the worst thing, I think. A person who doesn't know, it's not as good enough person doesn't know something. Good enough person's bad. A person knows it's twice as bad. But they think the third thing is the worst of all. Because that's how people can justify anything. Because they're unaware of what, from what source their actions come. And this is tribute. Is it? That's the case. So therefore, a person thinks it's coming from Sitkis and others come from Lucius. Is that the case? And over here, it's not religion, it's from fear, it doesn't know. So that's why people can do anything in the name of Torah. Because they could easily, very easily, me and the subject, very easily, to forget, to misassociate the proper causes with the effect.
Doesn't
call it, doesn't call it properly. It's an amazing thing. And that's an in-depth concept of psychology, it's unbelievable. That's why I always said that the goddess of Chazal was not. People think the goddess of Chazal was that they didn't have any inclinations. They're absolutely wrong. That's a false idea. That's based upon their own feeling themselves, because they themselves want to think of the perfect, you know? And the Chazal must have been somewhat of the perfect. They're wrong. The goddess of Chazal was one thing, that they recognized and they knew every inclination. That's the goddess. I was under control. The recognition and the honesty, that's the goddess. Not the goddess even from, the goddess thing is a pure, it's a gracious concept, a pure saint. That's not a goddess, it's not a matter. Ben Adam is evil. Ram says, as many as matter, he says, as many as physical, he has to have evil. Has to be there. And the only thing is, even you can recognize it and admit it, and know what it is, and know how to control it, or else you can deny it. I think you're victorious. That's the worst of all inclinations. That's the ego driving it. You know what I mean? From that moment, it's clear. Amazing thing. The perfection doesn't seem to be going in that way. Most people's perfection is not in uncovering their instinctual base instincts. That's not, they're going the opposite direction. Completely opposite direction. Be careful, I might have an incestuous relationship with my daughter or my sister. I said, oh, can you imagine that? How could I do that? I wouldn't do that. That's the difference. And the person really sees what it is, and you don't understand it. And there's very little room for driver. But the other direction is the impression most people take. Unbelievable. Denial of the instincts. Okay. Without knowledge. Without knowledge is nothing possible to control it. Because without knowledge, it keeps on working. In disguise. And it keeps on disguising it. And the person doesn't know. That's why so many people change their mind. Okay.
Yeah, by the was the first memo. The first memo was Livermore says nobody's perfect. There are three verbs that a man commits every day. Lashon hara, hear he, lashon hara, hear her, noshim. And the third thing that Maamar Chazal, the three things that Maamar Chazal teaches us. One is that you don't recognize your evil. The second is that people repress it. And the third is they always attribute their actions to other causes.